Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Community United Methodist Church, or should I say the adventure land of the Alaska. I don't know where we're at, but we are somewhere. We've been transported to this beautiful scenery that is going to be part that adds to our wonderment of VBS this week. So we are excited for this week. I ask that you would be in prayer for this week as we have all these children come into our space, that we'll be able to, you know, minister to them and be present with them in so many different ways. Because we know that even though we're adults, the kids are dealing with things, they just maybe not know it. So we're going to be here and help them any way that we can and share Jesus Christ with them. Because that is why we're here. We're here because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we've experienced that love, and we want to pass that on to our neighbors. And let's turn to our announcements this morning. There are several, and I really want to touch on just about all of them. They are important announcements. If anybody wants to help out with the donating to anything that's going on with the Texas floods, there are multiple ways, and they're listed in the bulletin, of entities that are in the area of Texas. And then there's the United Methodist Committee on Relief as a whole that deals with disasters all over. And as you know, there's been multiple floods throughout our country in this past couple of weeks. So there's lots of different things happening. So if you want to participate through donations and you're wondering where you might do that, there are some places that are listed here that we know are viable. Also, coins for missions today. So if you want to have your coins ready and be prepared. The ad board is meeting on Thursday, but we're going to be in the chapel because everything else is VBS. So we're going to make sure that we don't get lost in the decorations, so we'll be in there. Also, Mary and Martha is usually tomorrow, but it's canceled because of everything that's going on. And also the men, we're going to be helping with that. And so the men are not going to meet this month either, even though our week is usually the third week. We're still not going to meet this month, so back in August, we'll all be meeting at our regular scheduled weeks. Also, on the 27th of July, we will not be worshiping in here together. We'll be with 14, 15 other churches in the community at Shawnee Park. And it'll be a great time. We've done this the past several years, and we just invite you to meet for their worship same time, 10:30. If you want to help set up chairs or something, be there around 9. They can utilize your help because they have like 600 chairs that they set up in the pavilion. But bring chairs, sit in the lawn. It's a great, great time to be together as the body of Christ within Xenia. Also, Shoes for Shoeless is coming up, so that's something that we need to be mindful of. There are little flyers out in the narthex there that you can utilize for that. And a new member class, I've already got responses from like 4 people that can make it on August 3rd. If anybody else is interested in actually becoming a member, if you're not already, come on August 3rd at 1:30 and we'll work on sharing what it is to be a member and understanding United Methodist Church, how it functions and operates. So let me know if you can be a part of that, and we'll make sure that we're ready for you. And as always, we can always use help around in the making our outer space beautiful. So if you can help out, contact Margaret, and she'll make sure you can help in many ways. With that, let us prepare for worship as we learn more and more about who we are in Christ.
Good morning. If you'd stand as you're able, please, for our call to worship. Beloved people of God, welcome to worship. With love for one another, we gather as neighbors. And if you would remain standing, please, for our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. It's number 577 in your hymnal. May be seated. Please join me in our opening prayer printed in the bulletin. Loving God, thank you for being present in our lives and in this time of worship. Speak love to our hearts and wisdom to our minds, that we might grow in your knowledge of love and that our lives might bear the fruit of your knowledge and grace. Amen. Children would come forward for the children's moment, please.
Good morning.
Hi there, everybody. I have lots of information to impart this morning.
All right.
Yes. So, first of all, you know, Bible school starts tomorrow, right? And Mrs. Stone and I get to teach the preschoolers. And in the preschool class, we're going to be the bear cubs.
Mm.
And we need a mascot. So this is our mascot. This is William the Bear. I mean, you guys, you didn't say hi back. So he's going to hang out with the preschoolers this week. And hopefully he is not naughty. So this week, it is all about True North. Do you guys know what True North is? So,
what?
Okay, yes. In Christianity, Jesus is the true north. He is the thing that we're all kind of focused on. And in a compass rose, you always kind of look for the true north. So, I'm going to be giving you little compasses today. And a compass is something that just is supposed to guide you along your way. Another thing that guides us along our way is a Bible. I mean, it's kind of like our roadmap, like an atlas. Remember, I brought in a roadmap a couple years ago, and I said, this is what we did before we had stuff on our phone. You guys don't remember. I'll bring in a roadmap again, because I take my phone with me on car trips, but I still take my atlas. I still take my roadmap, just in case I don't have service. So, you know, that's kind of like a compass rose. You always have your backup. So our backup all the time is Jesus, who walks along with us. And our Bible is our roadmap. Okay, so I'm giving you guys a lot of information today. So this is partly for you guys. I know I talked a lot. I'm sorry. If you would like to register for Bible school, fcum.org. I think the rest of the stuff is for after we do coins for missions. So do you guys want to go do coins for missions? And then we will come back and say a prayer, and I'll give you guys all your stuff. And Lincoln, if you don't want, hey Lincoln, you can go out there. You can also see Pop, who brought his wallet.
One of these.
And if you would join us in our prayer hymn, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart, we'll sing verses 1 and 5. It's number 500 in your hymnal.
Let's go before our Lord in prayer. Amazing and merciful God, we are here before you, waiting upon you. We're here to worship you and call upon your name. But Lord, as we just were singing, may your love descend upon us, that we might rise in your love. God, we do continue to think about things that are going on around us. Lord, we still are hearing stories of devastation from the floodwaters in Texas. Each story has faces. Each story has hopes that were once there. Lord, we know that there is always hope. So, Lord, we continue to pray that there would be hope that comes and is seen out of this devastation. We already see the interactions with people and how they have come surrounding one another. This is what it means to follow you. To be able to see and be able to respond. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, it is always good to see and hear the stories of how you are at work through your people. So Lord, as we are here, may we sense your calling. Your calling to walk with you in ways that are visible to the world. That our faith would not only be personal, but it would also be public. Lord, it is through your Spirit that comes upon us that we are empowered and encouraged. So Lord, we ask that your Spirit would come. That we would be invigorated and inspired in ways that we maybe have not been before. May we not be timid, but courageous. As we are talking about this week in VBS about the adventure. Adventure that is all around us. May we walk alongside you into the adventure that lies before us. As your church, as your people who are looking to be more and more like your Son. May we be able to instill that excitement in the children that come to this place. The joy that we have in our hearts and the courage that we have to be those who share. Not only what we know, but what we sense and are motivated by in our hearts. So God, we do call upon Your name, Your powerful name. And You say You're giving us that power to respond. So Lord, we open ourselves to this power to be sent ones in Your name. Let us share with one voice that we agree with these things, sharing the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And friends, as we are able to see so much that has been provided, as we have seen how when we give, how things can come to life. This is just one example, the VBS that we are going to be doing and all the things that you see that comes with cost. And so does just being who we are as the church in our community. It is through our commitment to Christ that we're able to be here and share the love of Christ. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in this prayer of dedication. Gracious God, bless these gifts. May they bring Your love, justice, and compassion to where they are most needed in our world. Help us be good neighbors to everyone we meet. With gratitude and love, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, The one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, Go and do likewise. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
This morning I'm going to be singing a song called Holy Spirit Rain Down. And I just want to remind us that these words are prayer. It's a prayer for us to call on the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to change us, to make us alive in Christ, so that the things that we do are inspired and our hearts are changed by the Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, though we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. The Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Amen. Thanks, Suzanne and Pam. A great reminder. For many years, many of you know, this church has supported the Scouts. We currently have Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, and Girl Scouts that meet here each week. Now, although I have never directly been involved with the Scouts, I can say that I have witnessed the great impact Scouts have had on those who have. I've had friends and colleagues who were Scouts, and when I found out that they were, I was not surprised. The foundation of Scouting shared in their motto, "Be prepared," and in their oath pledging to do their best to honor God, country, and the Scout law, and to help others is noticeably present in their character, in their work ethic, and in their interactions with others. The Scouting program provides opportunities for our youth to prepare themselves for life by developing skills and exploring interests through merit badge programs. They can earn badges for all different kinds of things, sports and crafts, science and different trades and businesses and all different kinds of careers. But all badges are achieved through the guidance of an advisor, and the encouragement and accountability of a Scouting buddy. Earning badges instills the understanding that to be prepared for life, you must put forth some effort and depend on others to be successful. And then in addition to physical and relational skills, the Scouts do their best to develop young men and women with good character that is supported by the Word of God that prepares them to serve others. Whether we have been involved with Scouts ourselves or not, we should be able to appreciate their mission and support them in preparing our youth to make a positive impact throughout their lives. Like the Scouts, the church is established to prepare others for a life in Christ. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The church's motto could be prepared for eternal life. And like a young scout, there comes a time when we realize that life, well, is an adventure that goes beyond what we see on our own. And we need an advisor. We need encouragers and accountability buddies to help us to be prepared. Entering a relationship with Jesus Christ, you see, our vision is changed to see life from God's kingdom perspective and not just from our limited perspective. Working through this perspective shift is challenging, and it takes effort to develop the skills and character that prepares us for living an eternal life. I know I've said this before, but we often think about eternal life as being something that comes later. But in Christ, we are already living life as those who hope for eternal life. This is eternal life. We have been given, we've sung about it, we've talked about it, we've been given the Holy Spirit to be our advisor. We have each other as encouragers. And by the covenant of baptism, we pledge an oath to live a new life in Christ that seeks to follow His ways, reflect His character, and serve Him in all our days. With the help of the church, how can we prepare ourselves to serve in the ways of Christ? Let's take a look at this parable of the Good Samaritan for some encouragement today. Now, this parable is well known, and I think most of us here know at least something about the story of the Good Samaritan, even if it is just the word Good Samaritan. Now we know where it comes from. Jesus shared this parable right after He had sent out 72 of His disciples to witness to the good news of the kingdom of God in the surrounding area of the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. When they returned from their mission to Jesus, to report to Jesus, they shared with each other what they experienced and how responding to the inspiration and power of the Spirit within them impacted people's lives. And at the same time, the leaders of the Jewish people, the priests, and the scribes and the experts of the law were meeting too, sharing their concern about the ministries of Jesus' disciples. And as a result, they sent some trusted leaders to monitor Jesus and His disciples, expecting they surely have violated the law of Moses in some way. It was one of these representatives of the Jewish leadership that interrupted Jesus and His disciples who were celebrating the work of their mission. These experts tested Jesus because they wanted to know if Jesus was a friend or a foe. They trusted that if Jesus was deserving of such a following, surely He would know and abide by the law. And if not, He would be easily exposed as a fraud. Then Luke described the interaction, writing, "On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?'" Notice the lawyer was really asking, "How do I prepare for eternal life?" Or perhaps, "How do I orient my life now to receive life in the coming age?" Jesus, being Jesus, turned the question back to the lawyer, who should know the answer because he was an expert in the law. Friends, as representatives of Christ and mission for Christ, we have the potential to run into folks who want to test us to see if we are frauds or not. If we're going to be prepared to serve, we should know the way of the Lord. We have the full story of salvation and the teachings of Christ conveniently provided in our Bibles. The hope of eternal life through God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the whole backstory that leads up to this revelation that begins with creation, it's all in there. Yet we as a church, in general, not Faith Community Church, but in general, in many ways, are novices in the knowledge and use of the Bible. We are hesitant in picking it up and reading it. I get it. When I first tried to read the Bible when I was in college, I made it about 3 chapters into Genesis, closed it up, and I didn't look at it for a decade. The problem, now that I look back on it, was that I tried to do it on my own. I wasn't going to church then. I didn't have anyone to encourage me to stick with it. I didn't ask God to help me. That all changed when I recommitted my life to Christ and I invested in my faith by taking advantage of the opportunities the church provided and the support my church family gave me. Notice that Jesus asked the lawyer, "How do you read it?" It is important for us to read the Bible for ourselves and interpret what we read so we can connect with it from a personal level. And the pieces that we struggle with, that's where we turn to each other to help with interpretation or understanding or putting it into context. Studying together makes a world of difference. And we should never use the excuse, "I don't know the Bible," to keep us from learning about the Bible and how to apply it to our lives. Our confidence in our witness grows as we become more comfortable and knowledgeable of what we profess to believe that is revealed in the Bible. The lawyer was able to reply to Jesus' question of what was written in the law and about how to be prepared for eternal life. And as a result, he recited two passages from Scripture, one from Deuteronomy 6 and another from Leviticus 19. And together he declared, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus agreed with the lawyer's interpretation and then challenged him to live it in addition to knowing it. How we live depends on how we interpret what we read in the Scriptures or how our culture has interpreted the Scriptures for us. This is where changing our perspective from being narrowly focused on ourselves to being broadened to God's perspective becomes important. The lawyer had in mind who his neighbor was, but wasn't sure what Jesus' interpretation might be. Over time, the Jewish leaders had written additional laws which defined neighbor as those living under the Jewish law. And as a result, they limited their reach of love. Where God's love is boundless and always has been, but we tend to limit our love. The lawyer's request for clarification of who his neighbor was led Jesus to share this parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus hoped to correct the lawyer's limited perspective to see things from God's point of view. So Jesus began the parable simply saying, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Jesus started the parable this way to place the story within the lawyer's everyday environment. Jerusalem was his home. And the road to Jericho was a heavily traveled road from Jerusalem to the foot of the mountains near the Jordan River where Jericho was. I think it was around 20 miles. This lawyer certainly traveled this road many times. But the important piece of information that broke down the barriers used to limit the reach of love was the fact that the man who was in need was stripped of anything that could identify him. Anything that would have expressed his ethnicity, his religious affiliation, or any other marker that could clarify the lawyer's definition of a neighbor. If we are going to be prepared to serve for all eternity, we are to see everyone as worthy of love. We must guard ourselves against limiting our love by narrowing our view with labels. We hear this all the time, I know. But God so loved the world, not any specific people group. Human culture continually creates identifiable markers that generate division. And as Christians, we are to ignore the label, see everyone as someone loved by God, and love them with a servant heart. Jesus continued the parable referencing the lawyer's peers, the priest and the Levites, describing what was acceptable behavior from their perspective. Jesus said, "A priest happened to be going down the same road, and we saw the man. And he saw the man. He passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side." This behavior was okay in their eyes because the role or job of the priest and the Levite, according to the law, required them to remain pure or clean. Contact with a dead person would make them unclean, meaning they would not be able to do their job, at least for one day. The Jewish people who were not priests or Levites wouldn't have had a problem with them ignoring the man in need. Their jobs gave them an out, according to their culture. Friends, if we are going to be prepared to serve, we must be cautious of making excuses. How many times have we missed an opportunity, including myself here, to participate in God's work of mercy because we had to be somewhere or we had to do something? How many people have we overlooked who may have been in need just because we were consumed by our own stuff? Being prepared requires an awareness that extends beyond ourselves, but also a willingness to be disrupted. Jesus then introduced a new character with a label of Samaritan. This is one of the identifiers, according to the lawyer's perspective, that would exclude them from being his neighbor. Just mentioning a Samaritan in this parable got the attention of the lawyer and caused him to wonder, what was Jesus getting at? In the parable, the Samaritan saw the man in need, had compassion for him, and cared for him beyond any expectation. He gave his time, his money, and resources without expectation of any kind of return for what he gave. His focus was on caring for the man in need. What we can miss in the story, because we are far removed from the context, is that the Samaritan would not have been welcomed in the vicinity of Jerusalem. At least not without suspicion and likely some kind of harassment. The Samaritan, just being in the area, risked hardship and possible harm as he cared for a man in need. If we are prepared to serve in the ways of Christ, we prioritize others' needs that outweigh our concern. Sure, we need to be smart about what we are doing and be cautious. But we also must trust that if we notice someone in need, then God is with us. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us to care for this person safely. It is easy to rationalize our way out of helping others, so we need to be prepared to fight against these tendencies. Jesus then concluded the parable with a question to broaden the perspective of neighbors, asking, "So which of these three, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The answer was clear to the lawyer, and it is clear for all of us. We can easily reply to Jesus along with the lawyer in acknowledging the one who had mercy on him. The point of this parable is that it doesn't really matter who our neighbor is, because we are always to be the compassionate neighbor. To be prepared to serve our neighbors, we are merciful as God is merciful. Now, mercy is compassion in action. Jesus calls for us to be people who care enough to do something about what
we see or what is made known to us. Friends, as the church, we can support and encourage each other to be prepared for eternal life by being prepared to serve in the ways of Christ now, by putting forth the effort a little bit together to know the way of the Lord through reading and studying the Bible, expecting the Lord to reveal His ways to us. We can strip all labels from people that culture has made to see everyone as worthy of our love, and we can resist the temptation to make those excuses for overlooking the needs we see. We can prioritize others' needs as we weigh our own concerns. And we can take and ask the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to be more compassionate, motivating us to respond with mercy, so we can serve others in the way of Christ. So let's be prepared for eternal life and live like we are prepared to serve our communities as those who are serving the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for our closing hymn, "Open My Eyes That I May See," number 454 in your hymnal.
Eyes, ears, and hearts. What we see, what we hear from the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit motivates our hearts, we are able to let the others see and hear the love of Jesus. Let us keep that in mind as we walk each and every day. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.